Christopher Marr is expert at this. Chris Marr joins us right now with Bloomberg. Chris, I love, love, love your Bloomberg Law Report. And what I notice about it, it's no different than the argument 40 or 50 years ago over employee independent contractor. Is that correct, what I just said?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, is the debate over whether the workers should be independent contractors or employees. And of course, it's been a key part of the business model for Uber and Lyft, you know, right from the start, that they consider the drivers to be independent contractors.
And that's kind of the issue here, Chris. I mean, if we think back to the beginning of this whole ride-sharing concept, or even the gig economy in general, the whole concept is based upon the fact that these people are independent contractors. I don't even see what the deal is. There was never any situation where the companies misrepresented that. So I'm wondering, what kind of legal standing do the drivers feel like they have?
Right, and I think there's some debate out there, you know, to what extent the drivers really want that change in status versus whether they just want sort of the benefits and protections that they would get with employee status. And that's kind of what we saw happen with the legislation in Washington State. This was kind of negotiated legislation between drivers and the companies. And the drivers accepted independent contractor status. They actually locked it into the language of the legislation. But along with that, they got all these different benefits like workers' compensation insurance and paid sick time and certain, you know, guaranteed pay rates.
It's interesting here because, you know, I think if you asked any consumer, they would say, boy, Lyft and Uber, these are the greatest inventions, you know, ever. It just relieves so much stress in terms of transportation. Is there a groundswell from consumers that, hey, we want these drivers to have to be employees, to have benefits, to have employee protections? I don't sense that.
Right. I don't think it's coming from consumers. I think it's coming from, you know, on the one hand, you've got drivers who, you know, particularly in cities like New York and Seattle, and we've recently seen it in Minneapolis, you've got drivers sort of advocating for, as I said, better pay, better benefits, you know, if they need to get the employee status to get that. Then great. But it seems like maybe the status for a lot of the drivers is kind of a secondary issue.
Yep. It's interesting, you know, down in the Jersey Shore, pretty much most of the drivers down there are guys from and ladies from New York City, Philadelphia. They come down and in one night they tell me they can make enough to cover their nut for the week and they just love it. It's odd, but it seems to work for certain people. It'll be interesting to see what do the companies say here?
So, you know, the companies, I think from their side, as you know, that status issue is very important. And so, you know, any kind of deal that they agree to with the drivers, whether that be through a legislation or through some other kind of compromise deal,
yeah,
they want to make sure that independent contractor status is locked in. And if they can get that, then they're
right,
willing to negotiate on pay and benefits.
Right.
You know, it's just a matter of getting those numbers right. Minnesota tried this year and the governor ended up vetoing it because he and the companies both said, you know, the numbers were too high and it was going to make Minneapolis
right,
the most expensive rideshare market right, in the country.
Chris, I take immense issue with across the internet when I search for all this stuff. Everybody looks at the gross pay to a driver per day. But they don't live in a gross world. They live in a net world. Have you ever seen at Bloomberg Law good math of what they take in net, including depreciation of the vehicle?
That's a great question, and I have not seen those numbers. Maybe they're out there somewhere, but I think that's one of the complaints that drivers have, too, is it's so unpredictable. It's hard to know how much they're going to make from, you know, one day to the next, 1 week to the next.
I was with a driver, just, you know, another trip.
Uh-huh.
And he was popping some really nice numbers, like 80, 90, 100,000 a year. And then he walked through his expenses, starting with the John Tucker toll fee on the bridges and all that. And I find it fascinating, Chris Meyer, that this business is contrived as a gross pay business when none of us do that. We all work net, don't we?
And as you said, you know, they own their own vehicles. They've got to buy their own gas and do their own vehicle maintenance. I think that's a big part of it for the drivers is making sure that they're actually clearing enough income to make it worthwhile.
Spectacular article on Bloomberg Law, Chris Meyer, on something we're all living here, certainly in the bigger cities.